1 Samuel 17. As you're finding it, let's sing it together tonight. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went around and around. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went around and around. And around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. Amen. Well, praise God. That's what happens in chapter 17. Studying the life of only a boy named David. I'll give you one point tonight. It's 8:03. That's okay. I enjoyed what Brother Markey had to say, and we're not under any kind of have to get it done tonight thing. And we had a good prayer time, Brother Andrew and myself. So the Lord's in control. Amen. Give you one thought. I didn't even bring all the pages up. I only brought enough pages to give you one point tonight. Amen. One point. David's trip to the battle site. We're going to look at tonight and next week now. And beginning in verse number 12, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. David's trip to the battle site. We talked about David, his anointing to be king. We talked about his service to the king, and now his trip to the battle site. Dear Father, bless our one thought tonight from your word, and I pray that you'll just speak to us in this very brief time. But Lord, it's an important lesson. May we not miss it. I pray you help me. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let me preface the one point tonight by saying this, all right? So I'll tell you one thing and do something else, all right? A little preface and then one point, all right? Let me say this. Great men, which David is a great man. We're studying the life of a great man here. Only a boy named David. Great men are not great because of some cataclysmic happening that suddenly catapults them into greatness. That's not how it happens. Men become great because of the attention they give to the common, little, detailed matters of life. Then when the circumstance that they're involved in requires greatness, listen to this. The character formed by the attention given to the little matters causes them to rise to the occasion. That is the honest truth. People who desire greatness for personal gain seem to count as insignificant the small matters of life. They're always looking for that catapult to greatness, always looking for that one thing that I can do or have that's going to catapult me to greatness. They overlook the common, detailed, if you will, mundane matters of life. And in doing so, they're grabbing at thin air. It will never happen. People are not catapulted into greatness. And I think about those people on United Flight 93. And I bet you, and I'm not a betting man, of course, but I bet you $100 that if you got to study and know the life of Todd Beamer and the other men on that plane who were so heroic in that incident, and they were heroes, I believe you'd find out people, they were not looking to be great. But they were people of character. And when the occasion demanded and required greatness, the character they possessed put them in that place. And they rose to the occasion. David was a great man. One of the reasons he was a great man was because he paid attention to the common matters of life. This is really what the fourth part of this chapter is all about. You know, the big thing that everybody remembers about 1 Samuel 17 is the killing of the giant Goliath. That's huge. Okay. But we got to understand, friend, he would never have been on the scene. He would never have been there to kill the giant if he hadn't been a man of character when it came to some insignificant, mundane matters in life. We call them insignificant. They're really not. They're very significant, but they're mundane. They're common. And had he not given attention to those details, some common matters, he would never have been in a position that when the occasion demanded greatness, he was ready to step up to the plate. Killing Goliath didn't make David great. It revealed his greatness. You with me tonight? Okay. People wanting to be great for personal gain, always looking for that one thing that's going to make me well known and make me famous and make me great, make me influential. All the time ignoring just the common, mundane, little matters of life. You cannot ignore those and ever step up to the plate when the time comes. It won't happen. David didn't, and I want to show you some of these things that are very common about David that literally put him in the position of slaying the giant. That's what we all know. That's what we all remember him for. David and Goliath. Right? Without some of these things, I'm going to talk about one tonight and the rest next week, he would never have been in that position. Let me say, first of all, in this chapter, we learned that David was a man of humility. He was a man of humility. In chapter 17, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned, watch this, from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Now, at the end of chapter 16, where did we leave David? We left him in the palace serving King Saul. Not taking care of the toilets. He was the king's armor bearer. He was his right-hand man. So here he is in the palace at the end of chapter 16. Now the Israelites, they go to battle with the Philistines, and soon Saul is on his way to the battle site. Now, don't you reckon, can't we read a little bit into it without doing an injustice to the Scriptures? Being Saul's armor bearer, don't you reckon David probably thought that he would be going along? If he's the armor bearer, I'm going to the battle. That's what we're going to do. But he wasn't. He was sent home. I would call that disappointing. If I was the king's armor bearer and the king and all the soldiers were going out to fight, I would figure I'd be right there in the middle of it. So Saul says, "No, son, you're not going. Going home." Then when he got home, he found out his three oldest brothers were off to battle as well. And David found himself back in the field keeping watch over his father's sheep. From the palace to the pasture. Not exactly the route to glory for someone interested in being in the position of honor. See, David wasn't interested in being in the position of honor. That's why God put him there. People who seek honor never get it. God makes sure of that. From the palace to the pasture. As far as we can tell, David handled this with a good spirit. He was a man's man. He was mighty valiant. We learned that in 1 Samuel chapter 16. A mighty valiant man, a man of courage. And it's going to be revealed later on in this chapter. And he very easily could have pouted about this seeming demotion. He could have been heartsick and pouted about it, but there is no reason to speculate that David ever pouted, that he ever got upset, that he ever got offended when Saul sent him back home to watch the sheep. You say it takes pride to be offended over matters like this one, and the lack of David's being offended proves his humility. He's a humble man. A man of humility. He would have preferred being at the battle site. However, he would return to his father's sheep instead and be everything he ought to be as a shepherd. If that's what I'm supposed to do now, that's fine. Where are the sheep? What do they need? Put me back out there. I'm okay with it. He was just bearing the king's armor 2 or 3 days ago. Now he's out watching the sheep. His attitude's the same. It's fine. A man of humility. That required humility. Now let me ask you a question. Would David later receive public honor? Oh yeah. When he killed Goliath and chopped off his head and took his head back through the town, the women saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands." They honored him. But hear me, friend. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15 and chapter 18, it says the same thing in two different verses. Before honor is humility. before honor is humility. Yes, David got honored as the great warrior of Israel, killed the giant of the Philistines, the champion, Goliath. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. If he had not been a man of humility, a man of a humble spirit, God would never have heaped that honor upon him. Because before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By what? By humility, not by self-promotion. Not by seeking it for yourself. Not for looking for self-gain. That's not how honor comes. Honor that comes from God must first be a spirit of humility and a humble spirit before there's ever any honor bestowed upon a person from the Lord. The spirit of humility is a prerequisite for honor. And here was David going back to tend his father's sheep and doing so, obviously, with a good attitude and a good spirit. It's okay if that's what they want me to do this week, if that's what they want me to do the next 6 or 7 months. It doesn't matter. Whatever they want me to do, that's what I'll do. You see, that's how humility comes. Humility comes from submission to God and being yielded to man. That's how humility comes. God, is this what you want from me? That's fine. Dad, this is what you want me to do? Yes, sir. Not a problem. Well, I'll tell you what, our society is offended so easily. And not just our society, but Christian people. I had breakfast with the pastor this morning before I came back to town, and he asked if we could get together, and we got together, and he had some things he just wanted to unload, some burdens he was carrying, and some problems. A lot of it centers around a lady in the church who's seeking honor, wants a position of honor, and new people have come into the church, and some of the new people are doing some of the things that this lady that's been a member for a while has done, and she's just wreaking havoc as the new people are taking over. She's making them feel, not taking over, but moving into positions of service. She's making them feel unwelcome, and her bitterness toward them is obvious to the whole church. Problem is, I'll tell you what it is. It's called pride. It's called pride. Now, I'm not saying anybody here should want to give up their job or want to give up their position, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. If the day ever comes that God says, you know what, this person needs to be here doing this instead of doing this and move this person in this slot, a person of humility is submitted to God and yielded to man. That's how humility comes. Well, amen. That's right. That's exactly right. This pastor is having trouble with this whole thing because of this one thing I'm talking about here. There's no spirit of humility in this person's heart. Anyone who possesses the spirit of humility is not in search of honor. They don't care about self-promotion. They're not in search of self-honor, self-gain, if they have the spirit of humility. When I think about the spirit of humility, you know who I think about? I think about Mordecai and Haman. In the book of Esther, boy, Haman wanted that honor, didn't he? He lived for that, and he promoted himself. And he despised Mordecai, who would not bow to him and give him the honor, and he plotted to have Mordecai killed. He was so hungry for honor. So hungry for it. Oh, boy. And they built those gallows to hang Mordecai on. The next day, the king called him in. Said to Haman, said, hey, what should be done for the man that the king seeks to honor? And you know what, Haman was so full of himself, he thought he was talking about him. Now, that's pride, isn't it? Are you with me? Folks, a person who's seeking honor for themselves is full of pride. So he said, well, boy, he saw his chance. He said, well, let's see. What I think we ought to do, he ought to be given the king's clothes, and he ought to be given the king's horse, and he ought to be given some of the king's signets and jewelry, I guess, and he needs to be put on the horse, and he needs to be paraded through town and said, here's what happens to the man whom the king delights to honor. Here's what happens to the man whom the king delights to honor. Poor Ahasuerus said, that's great. Don't you love it? That is fantastic. What a thing. What an idea. What a plan. Tell you what to do. Take these clothes. He's probably thinking, yeah, they'll fit. Take this stuff. and give it to Mordecai and put him on the horse and you take him around town and say, this is what's done to the man the king delighted on. Amen. Did God do a number on that old boy? Yeah. Remember what he did? He went to his house and pouted. Because he had no spirit of humility. He's proud. A person with a spirit of humility always rejoices when someone else is honored or preferred before. Are you listening? See, this is, we think of David, we don't think of this. He killed Goliath, man, look at that, slain his tens of thousands. If he had not had the spirit of humility, he'd never been given that position of honor. He'd seek his own well-being. David was content to accept his duty of sheep keeping after being the king's armor bearer. He was not too good. He was not too big to go back to the pasture from the palace. I heard a pastor said to me recently, in the last 2 weeks, he said, I'll never be an assistant pastor again. But you listen very carefully. I don't think God will ask me to be an assistant pastor again. I think he wants me to stay right here and lead this church as long as you'll have me. But if God said, go back and work for Larry Brown, and I knew it was God's will, I'm not too big or too good to do it. I don't think he's going to do that. But if that's what God says to do, that scared me when he said that. Don't ever say never. I'm waiting for the phone call to tell me that Brother So-and-so is working as an assistant pastor. By the way, assistant pastor is no position of, what's the word I'm looking for? Scum? Or I don't know what. Is that good, Brother Jason? Amen, that's a good word. It's an honor to work in the Lord's work anywhere. Amen, sure. I don't have to be the top dog. And God knows my heart. In fact, sometimes I wish somebody else had it. Let somebody else lead it. That's right. Are we too good or too important to do just what comes our way in the will of God? Whether it's public position or private? Whatever it is in the work of God, it's an honor just to serve the king. If it's keeping sheep or if it's bearing armor, it doesn't matter. Do they not get our detailed attention, these mundane tasks of life, because we perceive there is no honor in the doing of them? You see, being humble enough to do a mundane task like keeping sheep after being the king's armor bearer contributed to David's. This is why, later in the chapter, he kills the giant. He's got a spirit of humility. He didn't take on these tasks with ugly spirit. I'll prove that to you next week. He gave his best to keep in those sheep. That proves his spirit of humility. May God grace us all with that spirit. Amen. All right, let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Father, thank you for the challenge from Brother Marquis tonight. I pray that you'll please bless the hearts of our people. Thank you for so many in this room who have found their ministry of helps and are very faithful, Lord, in that ministry. And Lord, maybe they feel like no honor goes with that particular position, that particular act of service. But Lord, you know, I walk in here every Sunday morning long before anybody comes. I see all these books straight and in their place. I see the floor vacuumed and I see the auditorium looking neat. And my heart is grateful. Thank you for that person who helps in that way. We have a quiet service tonight, dear Father, because the babies are cared for, because of ladies who are so gracious to help. And on I could go. The truth of the matter is, dear Lord, without a spirit of humility, it's tough to get folks who'll do those type things. And I rejoice in all these dear people here tonight, what they've found to do in Your great work. Dear Lord, may we all possess that spirit of humility. Whatever, whenever is fine as long as I can just be in the service of the King. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies and gentlemen.